Hey guys, welcome back to Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host Kendra, and today we are going to talk about that little tug, that little feeling that you have that you're doing something amazing that you love, but what is your bold life purpose? Andrea Freeman is here to talk to us about that and how we can find it. So grab a cup of coffee. Here we go. Hey guys, welcome back to Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host Kendra, and today I am sitting with Andrea Freeman. She's a mindful business coach. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. So what exactly is a mindful business coach?
Yeah, I know, right? What the heck is that? That could be so many things. So what that is for me and the way that I work with my clients is that I really support entrepreneurs in being able to up-level their business using mindful business strategies. So there's a mindset component, like a real presence and awareness and authenticity. And then that allows people to be able to discern the strategies, the tactics, and the methods that are right for them. It's really about helping people be able to distinguish themselves and not feel like they have to fit themselves or their business into a mold or a cookie cutter, but that they can show up in really their full scope of power as a business owner to be able to be of service in the world.
Oh, so you hit the nail on the head right there. I have so many questions about cookie cutters and molds and but I want to know first, how did you come to find this? What is your history and where did you find the skill set and this passion for helping people like this?
Yeah, so I have had a kind of windy path. And I, in all honesty, started my first business when I was 12 years old. I was really bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. I think it's just a kind of a gene that I have. And I'm the only one in my family with this gene. So I am really a unicorn in my own right, in my own family. But when I was 12, that business was a babysitting business. And my whole Girl Scout troop got certified by the Red Cross to become babysitters. And I just like a light bulb moment where I just was like, oh, I could market and monetize this. Now, I didn't have the words market and monetize,
right?
But the Girl Scouts really teach you how to sell door to door at that young age. And so I went to a neighbor who had a computer because everybody didn't have computers in their home at that time, which is me dating myself, but that back in the day. Yeah. And so I tapped this neighbor and just said, I want to start this babysitting service and can I make some flyers? And she, you know, welcomed me over, spent all day Saturday, took all of her time figuring out how to create this flyer and then just Xeroxed off a bunch of copies and went door to door and was telling everybody. And I remember distinctly telling people, well, if this isn't for you, maybe you know somebody who does need a babysitter. So I did
You're so good.
That referral system. I don't know how I knew to do that, That's amazing. I just like wanted to babysit. So it turns out babysitting was not my passion. And when I was 15 and could get like a real job, I definitely did that. And I did the retail thing and I, you know, worked in fast food. I did those young kid things. And then ultimately ended up going to school to become a public school teacher. That's what I went to college for. And that was an interesting experience. That I actually chose that profession because another Girl Scout experience. When I was 17, I started a summer camp for kids with disabilities to earn my gold award for Girl Scouts. And that was a super successful project. The Girl Scout Council ran it for another 10 years after I left the project. So I thought, what could I do that's like summer camp? This has been amazing. Like, I love helping people in this way. I love creating communities. You know, what can I do to do work that's similar to this? And I thought that I should become a public school teacher because what else is like summer camp? But that was limited wisdom and limited life experience leading the way. And once I got into the classroom, it really wasn't a fit for me. It turned out that I needed to do something that was much more creative, that allowed for a lot more freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I left that after 1 year of teaching to go to culinary school, because in that 1 year of teaching, I started hosting a lot of dinner parties. And a lot of people were like, you love this. This is your thing. And so I went to culinary school simultaneously while I was starting my event planning. Well, it was really a catering company at that point in time. It transitioned into becoming an event planning company, where I ultimately got to create events for red carpet celebrities and high net worth individuals and, you know, big corporations. And that was the business that really allowed me to grow as an entrepreneur, to become very serious as an entrepreneur, and become just really knowledgeable about what leads to success. It also led me to have the incredible privilege of seeing behind the scenes of some really high performers, right? Mm-hmm. So as an event planner, you're in people's homes and you're with them, you know, for a year, sometimes more, leading up to one big important day, or you're with them on repeat because you're the person that they bring back to throw their annual summer barbecue, or, you know, which is not like how you and I have a barbecue, right?
Right, right. Slightly different.
So, yeah. So you get to see what people who are living as really peak performers are doing, like who they're spending their time with, what kind of rituals they have in their lives to create from a place of true authenticity, because these are people who are not doing what the mainstream is saying everybody should be doing, or they're really marching to their own, you know, beat of their own drum. And so I started to incorporate what I was noticing was leading to success, you know, that were the common threads of success in all of these people's lives, and trying it out in my business, which is ultimately what led me to create the Host Your Life method, which is my foundational program in, right, in all of my coaching work with my clients. That coupled with that, I actually did work for a leadership development company. So mindset is something that's always been fascinating to me. When I started the baby business at 12, I picked up a book about yoga and meditation that my mom was clearly not using. She did not notice it was missing. Yeah. And I started deep breathing and meditating. And I don't know why. It was just at 12. Yeah. It just seemed interesting to me. Yeah. I was just following curiosity. I was just like, oh, what's this about? And I really enjoyed that, that kind of somewhat transcendent experience. Now, I dabbled for years with meditation and mindfulness. I tried every kind of yoga. I tried every kind of mantra. I tried every kind of meditation you could think of. And something stuck, but I would go in and out of having any kind of practice. It wasn't until the last like 6 years that I had a really established meditation practice. And but I think it evolved over time, that as I continued to grow as a business owner, I also continued to grow in my mindfulness practice, in the things that I saw were very clearly linked to achievement and success and high performance and sustainable results.
Right. Sustainable. That's a good point. Because so many people like will have, you know, multiple businesses, but they can't keep that momentum going, or whether they lose interest, or it's just not the direction they want to go in anymore. Or sometimes it's just burnout. I think the sustainable part is an interesting point. So, I mean, how did you, at that point, you knew, okay, this is my foundation. This is what I know works. So then you put this program together. How did you start, even for your own business and yourself marketing that and growing that and making that a, getting all your clients in?
Yeah. So in event planning, what it really looked like in the beginning when I started my business, it was, It was very much me learning the industry. So I was definitely looking around and noticing what everybody else was offering, what everybody else was doing, and trying to figure out where I fit into the mix, right? So, which is very often where new business owners kind of find themselves, because we're trying to really distinguish ourselves and figure out how we're different. And but also, in order to figure out how you're different, you have to know what the marketplace has available. So that's where I was in the beginning. And I was refining. I was doing the things that you're supposed to do as a business owner for the first 3 years to figure out really what my niche was and what I wanted my focus to be. I had a great business coach right away. Mm-hmm. That was at the time when SEO was like first, like we all ever heard about it.
Yeah.
And so this was 2010, right? Maybe people had heard about it before, but it was definitely the first time I had ever heard about it. And this coach definitely helped me figure out what my niche was very, very quickly. And so I went from event planning and specifically wedding planning to being the person who plans short timeline weddings, which was very, very different than what the market in general talks about when it comes to those kinds of events. It's supposed to be the best year of your life, right? Like a year of your life, right? Like that was definitely a critical component of it.
The wedding binder and all the things.
Yeah. That was the days of the wedding binder, all of it. And so I had a lot of experience planning like really fast events. So, and I was also living in Los Angeles at the time. So I decided that what would distinguish me is to create a space for people who didn't want it to last a year, didn't need it to last a year, right? Like for all the other people who wanted a different kind of experience. And so I did start to niche down pretty quickly, but I still, even though I had this like thing that was distinguishing me, was still talking about it in a very similar way to the way everybody else was talking about it. I didn't yet know that that I could talk about that other things were possible with events. So this is an industry that was very driven by optics, by image, you know, by delivering perfect results. And so I was talking about that. But in 2015, so 5 years into my business, I became a mother, and I suddenly had this realization that I was spending way too much time working, that I was not going to be able to care for another human life if I was working that much, and that I needed things to be much more fulfilling if I was going to continue to spend time away from my daughter. So I definitely did a lot of soul searching at that point. I decided to stop keeping all of the personal development work that I had done out of, you know, I was really keeping it at arm's length at that point. I didn't want to tell people how introspective I was. I didn't want to talk to people about anything that went against the grain of like the narrative of the industry, which is
because it wasn't a thing then.
No, it wasn't. So I changed like really like overnight, and I started talking about imperfect parties. I started talking about events that were driven by meaningful connection, not by about this is going to not stress you out, because a lot of the language about hiring an event planner at that time was about how this is really hard and you need a professional to help you do it because otherwise you're in over your head. And I just didn't want to have that conversation with people. I decided to switch and not sell the industry anymore, but really talk about what it made possible to have this kind of event that was driven by the connections and the community. And that was huge because that ended up changing everything in my business. I eliminated services. I, you know, started just doing what was in my heart and only offering the things that I wanted to do. I completely overhauled my client gifting program, which is I know not something that everybody has, but, you know, in that industry, it's definitely a lot of gifting that happens. Right. And I had been doing, I was in a luxury space. So mm-hmm. I had been giving people Tiffany champagne glasses when they would sign on with me as a wedding couple. And I stopped doing that because it did make sense on some level. Like, I'm a luxury planner. It's a luxury item. Like, I guess that made sense. And people would thank me for it. But when I started sending instead, like, this beautifully hand-poured candle that was crafted by women, that's like teaching them how to build their own businesses in, yeah. you know, in another country, and like an organic bath soap and a dream catcher and what I call your joy cultivation box, like, I was giving something that was much more aligned with my values and who I am. And I mean, that started going viral. Like, I don't think anybody's ever gotten that box and not posted about it on Instagram and thanked me profusely. And like, I wasn't getting that reaction with the Tiffany champagne right, glasses. Right. Like, let's just say that. So I think that I dialed into the power of authenticity when I decided to, like, when I drew that line in the sand, when I was like, it has to be easier than this, it has to be more fulfilling than this, and I am going to figure it out. And that's the time when I really created the Host Your Life method and started implementing it in that business. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, how I transitioned to coaching is that I just, like, realized I would have these business-to-business conversations. You know, I would go out with colleagues and we would talk about what's working, what's not working in our businesses. And a lot of people would ask me to be their coach, or where did you say you listened to that podcast, or where did you read that book again, or, you know, could you just be my coach? And so I just started saying yes, because I love talking to people about what's possible, and I love entrepreneurship. Like, I was having more joy in business-to-business conversations than with my clients. And that's not to say that I don't love my clients or I didn't love my – I had great clients. I had really nailed how to attract the clients that are right for you, what I call your soulmate clients. So it was – it's not because that was broken or that it wasn't working. It was definitely working. I had so much business that it was like – it was a little unsustainable. I was going to have to build a much bigger team to oversee things.
Yeah.
And at that point, I just like had to be really honest with myself that I didn't want to keep building that machine and keep being the mom who couldn't go to gymnastics, or the mom who was always missing out on, you know, school plays and stuff like that, because, you know, the school schedule has its own thing, right? And you have to be available in the middle of the day, or, you know, at times when I was commuting an hour and a half to get into my Midtown Manhattan office and then an hour and a half home, I was missing 3 or 4 nights of the week because I was committed to my work and I was right. passionate about it. But I just needed to restore balance. So, you know, so I transitioned and now I work from home mostly, and, you know, I get to be with my daughter, and because of COVID, I actually get to homeschool my daughter, and
yeah, that's
never saw that coming.
So what gave you the idea or the permission to create the business that you wanted to create? Like, you know, especially in event planning, I would imagine you see everybody doing this one certain way. Where, and I understand like not feeling aligned, but still you needed a certain amount of courage to go out on a limb and say, I'm going to try this way. And how do you get that?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I, for whatever reason, believe most things are just going to be easy. Like I get the idea to start a summer camp at 17 and I do it. Like, I have always been that way, and that's not helpful because maybe everybody doesn't have that. So, but what I do know that I do is that I do still have fear, that I do still think like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I do it anyway. I am endlessly curious, and I am definitely interested in being happy. And so I'm not willing to do anything that doesn't let me continue to grow, to evolve, to explore, and that doesn't let me make mistakes, right? Because I made a lot of mistakes in my businesses, and I didn't do everything perfect when I set up the summer camp, but I got it to the point where it was working well enough that I could test and I could adjust and I could refine. And that is quite honestly my sweet spot. I do a lot of my creating in the world through kind of like synthesis kind of thinking, where I'll see something over here that I'm inspired by and something over there that I'm inspired by and a little something from this corner. And then I pull it all together and I'm like, oh, that could be my special blend, because I just gravitate towards a lot of different things. I feel like I'm one of those people who's just interested in a lot of things, and I can't easily be shoved into a mold. Like, that was just never gonna work for me. So I give myself a lot of room to be inspired, to notice what's inspiring me, and to just remain true to my ultimate purpose, which is really to be able to be fulfilled, to create an impact, to make a difference. Like, all of those things, those are core values for me. And if I can't do that in my work, then my work is really out of alignment. So as long as it maps onto what I truly believe is intrinsically important for me and is going to help me be able to be a better mom and a better wife and all of those things, then I'm happy to keep exploring and, you know, and pursuing whatever that new avenue is.
Yeah. It's so interesting, because a lot of people that come to me are emerging freelancers or solopreneurs who have that thing where, oh, I want to build the agency, or I want to build. And I'm like, do you really? Like, is that really what you want? Or is that what you're looking at because it's the only thing you've had exposure to? And a lot of people say that come on this show, it's that ending curiosity and also the do it anyway mindset. It seems to be a running theme through all of the people that are just major action takers, and confidence in themselves and their own abilities, that they will not, it's not fail. It's, you'll just never stop until you've hit. And there is no, I guess, no real mark, but it's always that looking for happiness, aligning yourself with your core and doing things that support that, and just keep on creating and growing. Because so many people think like, oh, I want to build this, and it stops and it's here. And it just seems like that's kind of not what I see with people that are very successful and also really aligned.
Yeah. I think that the ability to be in action, even though we don't have the perfect thing that we're wanting to bring to the world, is like the difference maker. Definitely there are people who will try to sit and get it perfect first.
Right.
And they miss the opportunity, quite honestly, to do a lot of what makes business so beautiful, which is to be in a dialogue and communication with the market so that you can serve better. So I feel that it's really important to be able to get the service or get the product or whatever it is that you're wanting to make available in the world to the level that you feel good enough about it, but good enough to take action.
Right.
Not that it's perfect, because there people do go into, I mean, you know, everyone's becoming a coach right now, and people go into the course creation cave and they're in there for 6 months and they're perfecting those slides and they're perfecting those talking points, and only to come out and find out that the market isn't really that interested in it, right? Whereas if we do the market research, if we get in a dialogue about and do the thinking about who do I ideally want to serve and get into a conversation with those people and find out in their own language what they want, we can make sure that we infuse that into our products and our offerings. And that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
And especially for the small business owner who doesn't have $10 million to do R&D, right? Like, right. Yeah, the big corporations, they can take a year or more to roll out a new product, and they can spend thousands or even, you know, millions on developing it and having it be perfect because they have a very well-oiled machine. But for the small business owner who needs to be in action and producing results, which really truly means getting clients or selling products, we have to be willing to step out. We have to be willing to make it available and then adjust and fine tune. So that's why I always say, like, people are like, you know, during COVID, like the pivoting and I feel like small business owners always had to be pivoting. Like, we always had to be adjusting. We always had to be nimble. We always had to be fine tuning. So it's like a hot word right now. And quite honestly, at this point, people are kind of tired of it.
Yes.
But there is an element of it that is ever present if you're an entrepreneur.
That's a something I wanted to ask you too. So how often do you recommend reevaluating where you're at? Because life circumstances change, you have children, you whatever it is. How often do you look and reevaluate, this doesn't feel right anymore. I kind of have some different ideas now, or I'm inspired by something else. What is a good structure for that?
Yeah. So there's so many ways to answer that because everyone is obviously so different. But I think, like, if you're in the space where you've gotten your product or your services to the point of stabilized, right, and that it's not feeling in alignment, or if it's feeling like a little heavy, even though you have your systems and structures in place, then it's to look at, am I actually truly doing the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or should I be adjusting my systems and structures, right? But if you don't have those systems and structures in place, then you want to be looking more to what those systems and structures are that you should be putting in place, right? Because I feel like very often things can start to feel heavy. They can start to feel overwhelming. We can start to get into overthink mode when our systems are not clear, when they're not defined. And we can start to pay attention to the wrong things. I was actually on a coaching call today, and a client who just launched a video series, very similar to a podcast, that is totally a reflection of who she is and what she's excited about and her core mission as a business owner. And, you know, watching the likes come in or not come in, right? And so, like, we can get overly fascinated by something like that. What, so many business owners, how many likes, how many shares, how many saves, right, on Instagram, because we're not thinking about the bigger system that we should have in place. And, you know, how often should I actually even be checking that information? Right. Minute by minute, I don't think so.
No.
Definitely. That's my question that I would ask about, you know, is the service or is the product something that's stabilized? Is that system, really refined? And is it feeling overwhelming or out of alignment because of the system, or is it more of like an energetic, like, does this align with who I want to be in the world, right? Two very different examinations.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to use myself and be super honest as case study. So I've been in my business for 20 years. I'm a designer. I mean, nothing fancier than that. People are like, oh, you're a brand designer, you're a web designer. I'm a designer. And I have a small team of freelancers that work with my company, and some of them have been with me for a really long time. And we are now at the point where I have the most beautiful clients, and I love the work we're doing. And I am the type of person that thrives on the excitement of what the next project is, or the launch, or, you know, just that energy is, it's what gets me going. But because most of my clients we've been working with for some 15, 17 years, and they have been so kind to refer me to their friends. And now a lot of these clients are VPs, presidents, have startups. So we're working with a lot of.
I wanted to thank our sponsor, Embody Me, and just talk quickly about what they offer and why I think our audience is responding so well to their platform. I've gotten great feedback from you guys on how much you love, how easy it is to book classes, how it's really changed your structure of your day. I know myself, I plan them at the beginning of my week, so I know that there aren't going to be meetings that overlap or anything that gets in the way of taking care of myself and filling my own bucket. The Vinyasa yoga classes are so much fun, and just feel, I feel stretched and like squeezed out by the end of it. And it just allows me to tackle my day in such a better way when I add wellness and fitness into my schedule. So embodyme.live, go check it out. Our audience gets a 7-day free trial and 20% off your first month if you use code unicorns. So go check it out. Let me know what you guys are loving. Let's hear how we are taking care of ourselves. If you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of other people. And you cannot go change the world. So
there's just a lot of volume going on. So now we're at a point where I need to make some changes because there's just too much work. And it's not work that I can say no to because they're part of my family of clients, you know, and they're growing. So that was the whole point, right? To help them grow and watching them grow. And it's amazing to be part of that journey. So now I'm looking at my team and I'm like, okay, well, we need to either shift and do something different, hire more people, bring more people into our circle, or I need to kind of reevaluate what I'm offering and scale back. Or, you know, it was not, when I started this business, I had the idea of, oh, this will be an agency with walls that you can write on, and we'll have like a cool table in the conference room and gourmet coffee. And then I hated having employees and an office and four walls. So it's been a series of shocking events that I didn't expect until I got there and I got the thing and I was like, oh, this is not what I want. So, yeah, I guess that's where kind of my question about reevaluating came from, because when you reach a level of quote unquote success, where you're making great money, you've got the dream clients that you love, but it's now it's grown beyond what you can handle, you know, mm-hmm. how do you move forward?
Well, this is like, you're exactly who I work with. Like, you're at this crossroads, you're at this pivotal moment where you get to examine and make a decision that's really going to make an impact on your happiness, on the happiness of your clients, right? Because if we're not happy, our clients are not happy. No. And about like something that will be able to quite possibly generate a lot more freedom for you, because mm-hmm. it's suffocating to be living under the heaviness of like, what am I even doing this for? And like, can I keep going? And I've been there in my own event planning business. I was definitely on a hamster wheel that was like, oh my goodness, this pace is not sustainable. And I did it for years. Like, yeah. If you're a high achiever, which it sounds like you really are, you have stamina like it's nobody's business, right? Yeah. And probably a lot of people in your personal life have no clue that this is happening.
No,
right? Because
they have no idea.
You make everything look easy.
Yeah, they're like, you're so calm and chill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But inside, there's all this turmoil and all of this stuff going on, right?
Because I want to serve at the highest level. And everything that comes out of my studio has to be not perfect. I don't believe in perfection, but has to be amazing and at the bar that I've set. So any of my team members, you know, also are wonderful and really talented.
Yeah. Yeah. So the work that I do with my clients is definitely about getting very, very fundamentally clear about our purpose in life and really ultimately what we're here for. And we really do a lot of work to dive into that and create a purpose that expands our container for our business, for all areas of our lives, so that we can then align everything to what we're here for, right? Instead of aligning things to our business and planning around our business, we create something that our life is about that then serves as our own internal compass and becomes the guiding force for every other area of our lives. So I would say that that's probably the foundational work that you really want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you can make the decisions about what you're going to do with the team and what you're going to do with the services. And otherwise, you're kind of putting a Band-Aid on the situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, like, you could scale this in a way, because if you're a really high achiever, you like a new challenge and you want to enjoy, like, that growth and evolution. Yes. Now, I don't necessarily believe in always growing as far as like the size and the scope of our actual organization. Sometimes we do need to lock in and recognize that this is the level and like figure out how to create different ways to have that feeling. Yeah. Because we can get a little addicted to, I mean, you know, like there's hormones behind that and there's like, there's endorphins and there's all kinds of things that we get that like, you know, that hit of chemicals that we're used to that, right? Mm-hmm. So when we stabilize, it can kind of almost feel like we're calming down. But when you create the what I call your bold life purpose, you really actually, you start focusing on, I don't want to say a different ball, but like you're playing a different game and you want to stabilize your business so that you can figure out the ways that you're going to be contributing philanthropically, the ways that you're going to be expanding your
reach.
That's
what I feel. Because like I feel so pulled to help people in a different way. Like my heart grows 10 times when I see one of my team members who, you know, because they all have their own freelances business as well. So when I see them get the client that they've been trying to get or learn something new or hit some new achievement, I'm like, yes. Or one of my clients, like we had a product launch and she sold out in hours. I was just like, yes. Like I love seeing that. And I think that's always why I've done the business I do. I mean, I'm obsessed with design and I could live in a stack of design books for the rest of my life and be super happy. I think ultimately it's just, you know, when you're talking about your core, I love to see and be a part of helping people achieve their own dreams and their own goals.
Yeah. 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 It so comes through, like the energy that's coming through the screen and the mic, like that is who you are at your core. It's so obvious. So we would definitely go to work and drill down more on what that looks like and the ways that you'll be honoring it. So the Host Your Life method is really about that first step, which is to honor your why. So the why is your bold life purpose, but it's the honoring of it that's really important, because a lot of people have the inclination that their life should be about something, right? Like that, you know, I want to do it for my family or I want to make a difference in the world. But I push it a little bit further into that why should be bold. It should kind of stick its neck out a little bit. It should kind of challenge people a little bit. It should challenge you to rise to the occasion. And this is ultimately, I just turned 40 last October, and that's what led me to up my game with my own bold life purpose and my promise to the world, which is to help 10,000 women scale their businesses to multiple six and seven figures in the next 10 years, which is $1 billion in revenue in the next 10 years. Like, that for me puts me on the line, right? It puts me on the hook. And so then you start playing this game. You start telling people about it. You start having this commitment that's like re-energizing you, and you're recommitted to your work and what you're making available in the world. And then you have to, you have to own who you truly are. You have to really embrace the full scope of your power. You have to really dwell in that co-creative process with the universe or God or energy or whatever you call it, right? To be able to recognize that you have what it takes to step up and meet this challenge, whatever that thing is that you create for yourself. Yeah. And then we're human. We all have things that come up that once we make a promise, we're like, all the reasons why I can't or I shouldn't, right? Right. And we get really reasonable and we start to play really small. So that calls for shifting our perspective. So that's what the S is. So that is whatever the things are, the practices that you are going to put in place newly. You can continue to draw on things that you've had before, but you know, you've probably heard the saying, the thinking that got you here won't get you there.
Right, right.
Right? Like you'll have to create new systems. You'll have to create new rules for yourself. You'll have to create new practices because you're talking about playing a bigger game, right?
Right.
So you have to up-level your conversations. You have to do all of those things to start performing and producing new results. And then ultimately, at the end of it, you have to take inspired action. It's not enough to think about it, right? We have to be in action. Even though the promise is scary, even though we're putting ourselves out there even more and like, why do I keep doing this? And all that stuff comes up. You do it for the thrill of living your life fully. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a funny thing because I never expect, but I've hit that point in my life so many times where I'm like, oh, I didn't expect to be here.
Like,
it seems crazy to me to have a business that affords us a really nice life. And all these people that I adore, and then also feel this other tug. But then I look at other, you know, and I guess part of the problem is that we don't have a whole lot of alternative models to look at, or you know, it's hard, like you were saying that you were in people's homes and you got to see their rituals. And I think that is sort of kept from most of us. I mean, listening to podcasts, sure. But really understanding how somebody can have several different passions that they have businesses around, you know, I'm sure most of that is structure and hiring properly, and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was an event planner, I came across like a photographer who told me that she was working some holiday party, for these like millionaires somewhere, or billionaires actually. And, Ryan Seacrest's production company was the event planning company. And I was like, oh my gosh, Ryan Seacrest, leave something for the rest of us. Like I was making a joke, right? But here's somebody who has like a billion different companies, right? And he's everywhere. And I feel like we see that as an example at like the very highest level. But like, how do you grow into that, right? How do you go
from C to G, you know?
Yeah. I think like if you actually really look at it, like the people who are able to grow and scale multiple things, they dial in that core offering. They really get very clear and they lay a very strong foundation with that initial core offering. Mm-hmm. And then they pull themselves out of the business at some point.
Right. And that's what I think, right? Like, at some point, I cannot be as heavily entrenched in this as I currently am. Because I would love to see, I mean, we do beautiful, good, very functional, high-end work. And if I could just get that to run on its own with the most incredible, talented people and, you know, oversee and do my other things over here and over here, like that's the goal.
Yeah, I would say it sounds like you're very ready for like legacy work, like looking at how you stabilize this in a way that you don't necessarily shut the business down, that allows it to keep functioning, that it takes care of people that you've built incredible relationships with, and allows them to still continue to feel served when you're not the one on the daily who's the one serving them. and letting them know why that's in their best interest, right? And creating all of that, getting that stabilized so that you can do probably another thing, because it sounds like you're being called for something else.
I'm in the middle of writing a book, and I keep putting it down because I can't devote the time to it, but I just feel like I've been through some crap and I figured some stuff out. And I'd love to like have the flag, like, I've got the map, like, come follow. It's easier than you think. But yeah, figuring out what that looks like is a journey.
Yeah. And it's really like, that's why this is all about the mindfulness and the systems and the structures,
right?
Because there is, in stepping away, there is a way that we have to be able to lean into what's possible, like, you know, and create that new vision and be able to see and then inspire our team and then be able to trust that it's going to work. And, you know, building up all of those things, which I believe are really core fundamental principles of abundance. I mean, we can't thrive until we can be like, and it sounds like you have the gratitude part down, like you are so grateful for what you've created and everything you're making available, that really the next piece of it is to be able to dwell in possibility, to be able to do that like visionary thinking, which is the primary job that you have as a CEO of a company. And then to be able to trust and ultimately to be able to have the patience for it to unfold and be able to grow into the next iteration of what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Ooh, what an exciting, I know it doesn't feel super exciting over
there.
No,
it is really exciting. I love this.
But it is such an exciting point. It's like, I mean, you're at a real evolutionary point in your career and in your business. I think love that.
I've watched, you know, from the get-go, there's always these flaps of evolution, like this unfolding. And I think that's such an important thing for somebody that is starting a business or wants to begin something, like know that there's kind of, I just think it's been a beautiful journey. And I never consider there is an end. It's always been something that led to something that led to something else. And it was, I guess I have a lot of faith in things just working out. I also take a lot of action to make sure that they do, but you know, it's never a forceful thing. It's always like, I know that either that client's going to come my way or they're not. And if they do, that's what was supposed to happen. If they don't, then that was also supposed to happen for whatever reason. But I think for anyone just starting, or even if you're at this point too, like, you know, having the courage to kind of take a step back and think again, okay, wait, now what do I really want again?
Yeah. It's huge. I think that that's one of the biggest thing that anybody listening could really take away is that, you know, the hard work of it really never ends, right? And we've all known the business owner who kind of like gets set up and then kind of like tries to coast, right? And those businesses are uninspiring.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who's committed to living a life that is inspiring to you, that makes a difference to others, then you just kind of have to get really comfortable with that I'm always going to be kind of in this introspective space, and that makes your offerings, that makes your services that much stronger, right? And it makes for such a rich and fulfilling life.
Yeah. It's definitely been really cool. It's really interesting to start out. Like I started out initially, gosh, well, I had a couple office jobs and I worked in Manhattan for a little while. But when I went out freelance, I pretty much just knocked on as many doors and pulled as many connections as I had. But at one, for probably about 6 years, I was a wedding invitation designer in addition to designing for corporate, because I just loved brides and weddings and I was getting married. And it's just so funny when I look back at my journey, how my career so closely followed where I was at in my life and what I was enjoying at that time.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, I have this saying that you should let your personal evolution fuel your business revolution.
Right.
And I think that that is something that can really propel us if we're willing to do that work, if we're willing to take the hard look. Now, it's not for the faint of heart, right? And it's not for everybody, but it is worth it if you're wanting to create something that allows you to experience that next level of freedom, whether that's more time, whether that's more money, whether that's more impact. And it looks different for every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And when we get really related to what our version of success is now, and then what where we want to go and what we want that success to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, with the flexibility and understanding that we always get to say, right? You can step into the new thing that you create and say, oh boy, I really thought this was going to be in alignment, but it's not for me. All right, what do I want to create next? And yeah, you can kind of start to be playful with it. And there's so much freedom when you can be in that space. That's almost really where I say you reach a level of mastery, when there's very little distinction between work and play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is, I think, the goal, for at least for me. Mm-hmm. When you said joy before, joy is such a big word for me, because everything I do, if it's not bringing me joy, if it's not fun, if it's not something I get to play to doing, I don't really want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you. And when you finish that book, like, that is going to provide so much inspiration. I think probably that's going to happen when you get a little bit more freed up, because yeah, there's some stuff in your space right now.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm excited to see how this goes.
Yeah, I know. My editor is not happy with me at all right now. She's like, well, how about if you just speak it and then we'll work from that? Or how about if you, and I'm like, I'm blocked. But And I know once I free up the space in my head for it, then it'll all just flow out. I've already written a whole bunch, but we've probably rewritten it together 2 or 3 times since. So restructured, not rewritten.
Yeah. Well, also I think it's helpful when you think about book writing, that most of us have at least one book in us, but
sure,
truly we have multiple books.
Like, that's the problem.
It feels so final when you're writing a book, right? So you have to get it that perfection can really kick in. Yeah. So I think that it's important, especially when you're in the draft phase, to just get it out, whatever it looks like, and then come circle back when you're doing the editing for that second pass, and to know that you get to have a follow-up, like, if you want to, right? Like, this doesn't have to be the only book you have,
no, which can sometimes lose. My friend just wrote 3.
Hello.
3 best-selling books in a year and a half. He just like spit them out.
He was ready. Yeah.
He was. Yeah. It was pretty amazing to watch. Really cool.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for being my little business coach for this episode. And thank you for this audience for letting me be so vulnerable and honest and open and always being so supportive. We are all on this journey together, and that's why I love doing this show. And it's hopefully you guys got some jewel things to move forward with. So
awesome. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So I'm sure there are tons of people that are listening to this episode that are like, I need that help too. Where can we send them? How can they connect with you?
Yeah. So the best place for people to connect with me is in my Facebook group, which is a free Facebook group. And I do tons of trainings in there and have lots of content. So that is called the Uplevel Collective.
Okay.
So facebook.com/groups/Uplevel Collective.
And we'll have all your show notes on your unicorn page. All your links in the show notes, and you'll have your unicorn page with all your pertinent links, so you guys can come and uplevel your life.
I want to thank Andrea for being on the show, and obviously, I've hired her to be my business coach, and she's been so absolutely incredible. I've had so many revelations. It's been a lot of work, but the best work ever. And she's helping me figure out how I can have everything that I want and answer this new calling that I'm also feeling. So connect with Andrea, reach out. I can't tell you how much she has helped me on my journey. Also, please don't forget, find us on Instagram, any social. I would like to hear what you guys are getting out of this content. Please let me know what you love, what you want to hear next. And if you have somebody who you think is a unicorn or you're a unicorn, reach out and let's connect.